Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I'm Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today, we're going to talk, topic of our podcast today is Making It Rain, the life of Charles Hatfield. Charles Hatfield was a rainmaker, much like myself, in the early 20th century.
I'm a hail maker, Timmy.
I see. You throw change, right?
I just threw up there.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to talk about Mr. Hatfield and his unique life. But before we do, let me remind you that we are a comedy podcast. We use adult language. So if adult language offends you, then we would suggest that you try one of the other fine independently produced podcasts out there. Also, we tend to banter. Brandy, as you know.
We're roosters that way. We're just bantery roosters.
We do banter a lot, so if banter offends you, then you may want to try a different podcast. But
is that a thing now?
Yeah, we got a lot of it. We got a lot of recent reviews about our banter.
They don't like our banter. People are still listening, because if you don't like the banter, well, Timmy, what do you think that devil? What would you advise these people to do?
Fuck off.
That's right. Go fuck yourselves.
Okay. Let me introduce. Mm-hmm. Continue, Colonel. Continue to ramble.
Well, I'm just saying, Timmy, we have
built roll in.
A reputation in the podcast community as banterers.
We
world-class banterers.
It's
a skill that we have honed over the last 4 years.
We have honed, Brandy.
We have honed.
Sure.
Yes.
We've honed that skill just like you've honed the crippling nagging that you do to people, devil.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's a thing.
Let me point out that we do expect to be in Chicago this July for the podcast festival, True Crime Podcast
Festival. Yeah, and if
festival.
You don't like our banner, why don't you come up to Chicago and say it to my face, bitches?
Wow.
We would like to invite all
just line up at the goddamn door. I'll take you one at a time.
We are also looking forward to DweebCon 2019, the first weekend of October. So make your plans now, Brandy.
Done. It's on my Google calendar.
Okay.
And this one, Timmy, is what? The Return of the Colonel?
Yes, it is the Return of the Colonel. Exactly.
Yeah.
This is Colonel's Revenge, where he gets revenge for last year, which, of course, was something to do with Brandy. The Wrath of Brandy, yes.
And
this is the Return
the wrath
of the
Brandy
Colonel.
Every day.
But we do invite you to meet us in Chicago and meet us in Cincinnati for DweebCon. It's going to be quite the event, Brandy.
It always is.
Yes. Women, leave your bras at home. Right, Colonel?
That's right. Leave your bras. Bring your condoms.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bring your condoms. We don't need to say that twice, do we? We already got it.
Let me introduce our panel. I don't know where that was going, but let me introduce
our panel. No, I'm just saying, if you're just eating with these people, bring some rubber gloves and some condoms, because you don't. Never mind.
Oh, God.
let me introduce our panel. I am pleased to introduce a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. Her Majesty, Queen, she's also known for her rendezvous with her economics professor and...
yes, oh, my God.
Not rendezvous, her tryst with her professor.
And her adventures in lesbian softball. Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
I'm not known for any of those things.
Oh, you are.
At all.
Throughout the podcast community, you know, I was on a podcast group. It's in it.
No, you aren't.
Real podcasters. And we were talking, and they said, oh, you do that one show with the lesbian softball player.
And I was like, yeah, that's it. Banged her economics
professor. Banged her economics professor, yeah.
Yeah, I love.
I guess we can't really call her lesbian then, because she'll sleep with anybody for a good grade, and for Brandy, her, she's a good grade.
This is Brandy time,
right?
Well, we're talking about Brandy, so okay, we talked about Brandy enough. Thank you, Brandy.
Brandy, how have you been? We haven't recorded in a couple weeks. I had the flu.
I know.
And
I know, it's been a long time.
And obviously, you guys can't do this show without me. So, how are you been, obviously. Brandy?
I've been all right. I've been okay. Kind of, it's cold out, so I'm staying kind of holed up at my apartment with my boys.
It's cold out.
How is the young Noah?
Young Noah is just fine. He's good. He's good. He's still like living with an 80-year-old man, but he's all right.
Is he still watching YouTube videos of vasectomies or whatever it was that he was watching?
C-sections?
Yes.
Every once in a while. We do enjoy a good episode of Dr. Pimple Popper.
Okay.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
That show looks pretty gross.
Oh, it's pretty spectacular.
So okay, life is fascinating, Brandy.
It's not. I quit smoking.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
You quit smoking again?
It sucks. It sucks bad. But
how long has it been since you smoked?
2 days.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, it sucks.
Children's Services has not been called to your house, I take it.
Neither of the cops, so we're hanging in there.
Well, good.
How many
good luck
have
with
you
that.
Quit smoking, Devil?
Twice.
I believe there's been a few more times. You always get very and you know that I care deeply about you, Devil. Would not want to hurt your feelings in any way.
Uh-huh.
But you become a world-class shrew when you quit smoking.
I see.
You do.
People
are scared to be around you.
Have you thought about
the best
taking
times
up,
you scare people, but
have you thought about taking up vaping instead?
No.
I forgot you said that, you know, that was that was kind of a...
There he is.
Oh,
I don't want to say how you describe vaping before, Brandy. I'll just pass on it. We'll just move on.
That's fine.
But it had something to do with questioning Chuck's sexuality, I believe. But Chuck, let me introduce a man who needs no introduction, Brandy. A man who is known as an oasis in the desert of despair. A man who is known as the Yoda of podcasting, the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Bullrigallard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
No, good.
What's wrong, Colonel?
Well, you know, we're recording on Sunday morning.
Yes.
I've already done one service this morning, one church service. Had to go in front of a bunch of people who just aren't living right, Timmy. Now I got to do this podcast, and the devil, just being online with us, she kind of soils your soul, you know. And now I got to go back to my noon service and try to save a bunch of people's souls when I feel like the devil has weakened my goodness.
Well, Colonel, you know, a lot of our listeners depend upon you for their salvation.
For their spiritual guidance.
Yeah, there's, as you know, Colonel, that some of our listeners have strayed. They've gone astray. And they look to you for that guidance. So,
well, I'm glad you're here. Here's how you need to think about this, Timmy. If you think Amber Group and Cali are bad now, think about what how it would be without the Colonel's positive influence on.
Well, that's he's got a point there, Brandy. Think about Terry Stratford without the Colonel's.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Malachi, he'd be off the rails.
Look, I'm missing the Ted Bundy tapes to talk to you people. let's get this going.
Okay, speaking of Ted Bundy, we've done a lot of strange podcasts in the last few. But we have some serial killers coming up, so I just wanted to let people know, because people get mad when we don't do serial killers. So we have some coming
your
up.
Mom,
we're not.
Your
we
mom
don't have one.
If she does. Do serial
she
killers.
Does. But we have some coming up. So if you like murder and mayhem, you know, stay tuned because we're going to cover it. But today we're going to talk about the life of Charles Hatfield. Brandy, his friends called him Chuck.
You know, Dottie just turned us off, right?
Yeah, it has to be some murders involved before.
No mass bodies. I'll skip to the next episode.
Yeah. So at the turn of the 20th century, Brandy, an odd little man named Charles Hatfield traveled the western part of the United States claiming he could bring rain to drought-stricken communities. Have you ever lived in a drought-stricken community, Brandy?
Well, sure. Not nothing like California, but, you know, we had a drought.
Brandy lives in a constant spiritual drought, Timmy.
Oh, my God.
His soul is as dry as the Sahara Desert.
You are a soulless twat. I don't want to hear anything out of you about
here's
me.
Here's a trivia question for you, Brandy. Are there deserts in the ocean?
What kind of deserts? Like food deserts?
Not desert.
You can't
answer
a hard question, Timmy.
Okay, Colonel, I ask you, are there deserts?
There are indeed deserts in the ocean, Timmy.
And why is that, Colonel? How is that?
How is it? Well, first you have islands that pop up in the desert, but below the ocean, Timmy, you have deserts.
No, that's wrong. deserts are designated by the annual rainfall. So you have, you know, parts of the ocean that doesn't receive rainfall during the year, so... Anyway, that was my trivia for today, Brandy. Making you a little smarter today than more smarter today than you were yesterday.
More smarter. Thank you so much for that.
In 1915, Colonel, Charles Hatfield was hired by the city of San Diego to provide some much needed relief. They wanted him to make it rain, Colonel. I know the women like it when you make it rain.
They do.
This is a whole city came to Charles Hatfield and ask him to make it rain. And the results, Colonel, was unexpected. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But let me give you a little background on Chuck, Brandy. Chuck Hatfield.
Perfect.
Rainmaking.
Now, this is before he got into the big feud with the McCoys, right?
Yeah, not the same guy.
Okay.
Although we do have a interesting story about the feud coming up in a few episodes. Stay tuned. Rainmaking, Brandy, also known as artificial precipitation.
Precipitation?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Look what's coming
artificial
up.
Participation?
Precipitation.
Yes. Wait a minute.
Artificial, artificial ejaculation?
Artificial Jesus. Rainfall and pluviculture. Pluviculture is the act of attempting to artificially induce rain, usually stave off drought. Which is why you want rain
what that's
most
for.
Of the time. Yeah.
Sure.
Now, according to the cloud's different physical properties, Brandy, this can be done using airplanes or rockets to sow the clouds with catalysts such as dry ice, silver iodide, and salt powder. Have you ever had salt powder there, Colonel? What about saltpeter?
I had salt powder. I never had no saltpeter. You know, they used to do that in the jailhouses, put saltpeter in the water. Makes it hard to get a boner when you got saltpeter in you.
Well, ugh. To make...
I can still do it.
Anyway, this was the way that they used to try to make it rain, right? And so that was, of course, back in the day, or even today, when communities suffer from droughts, they look for any opportunity to make it rain. Before advanced meteorology, communities suffering droughts throughout the world attempted to bring rain through several different methods, including prayer, Colonel, that you're familiar with.
I've done it.
Of course, rain dancing. Brandy, I know you've done some rain dancing in your day.
I've seen you rain dance, though. I've seen the devil rain twerk before, Timmy.
I've made it rain.
And even human sacrifices were used, Brandy, for we need to do a podcast on human sacrifices because they're kind of fascinating.
Well, here, you know, we've you're done, in charge of that shit.
I know.
We've done chickens, but we just want just some light precipitation, Timmy. We
didn't
want the whole 9 yards.
You just wanted it to sprinkle.
Yeah, we just wanted our lawns watered. We didn't want crops to grow or anything. So we just used chickens.
Some communities became so desperate for rain, they would turn to con men, Colonel, who promised to make it rain for a price. Often, after the fee was paid, the quote-unquote rainmaker would sneak out of town, leaving the community dry and broke. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
That's shitty.
Yeah, the term rainmaker may sound as though it came straight from the ancient world. And in the 20th century, many of the salesmen who promised farmers and others that they had the answers to all their problems. Of course, these were con men, right? For a fee, these con men would apply their trade of pseudoscience, not unlike the magic of spells. Then rain would be promised. They would make these... You know, they do a little dance or whatever to induce the rain.
Do a little dance, make a little love. They just get down that night, right, Timmy?
And promise to make it rain for a summer. Now, in the United States.
Make a little love. Get down tonight. Get down tonight.
Amazing.
In the United States, rainmaking was attempted by traveling showmen. It was practiced in the Old West, but may have reached its peak during the Dust Bowl in the 1930s because, you know, communities were so desperate. In 1915, the city of San Diego, California, was experiencing one of the worst droughts in U.S. history. Southern California had gone months without rainfall. There was this local reservoir, the Marina Reservoir. And it was bone dry, Brandy. And the city government desperately searched for a solution. Desperate to end the dry spell, the city council, San Diego City Council, hired the self-proclaimed moisture accelerator. Charles Hatfield, to fill the reservoir. He did that, Brandy, and much, much more we're going to talk about. So so let me tell you a little bit about Charles, what do we call him? A moisture accelerator. Let me tell you about his
accelerator.
Yeah, his early life, Brandy.
It's all about branding.
Before summoning rain, Charles Hatfield was but a humble sewing machine salesman, Colonel from Kansas. Of course, our good friend's from Kansas, right? Your good friend, mm-hmm. Colonel.
My no, Midwest.
Your co-host of Rants and Reason.
She's from the Midwest.
Yeah,
not from Kansas.
Oh, I thought she's from Kansas.
But you know, my better friend, somebody who I like much more.
Yes.
Stephen Potts fixes sewing machines, Timmy.
I did not know that.
Yes, he does.
Okay. Does he do that as a job or on the side? Because I can't imagine there's a huge demand.
Colonel, do you know?
Nothing.
Nothing. No, that's his full-time living.
Okay.
Really? He must do industrial ones.
So if you need your sewing machine fixed, reach out to our good friend Stephen Potts. Good guy. Okay, so this guy, Charles Hatfield, he sold sewing machines. He's from Kansas. He was, you know, had a Quaker background, Brandy. Of course, you're familiar with the Quakers. And that kind of allowed him to gain trust. Well, Mormons, Quakers, same thing. He allowed him to gain trust among his clientele in the rainmaking business because they trusted him. He was a Quaker, for Christ's sake. Anyway, Charles was born on July 15th, Colonel, 1875 in Scott, Kansas.
Fort Scott,
Kansas. I really thought that I thought Shelly was from Kansas. She's not, girl?
Nebraska to me.
Oh, okay. Well, same thing. Really? There's still a territory, right?
He's not paying any attention.
I'm listening. I don't know if Nebraska has actually been made a state yet, Timmy. Yeah. I think they only got like 36 people that live there.
So Charles,
and they're spread out over 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
So Charles David Hatfield was born on July 15th, 1875, in Fort Scott, Kansas, as Brandy mentioned. His father's name was Eugene. He was a chemist, Brandy, and his mother's name was Eliza, and she was a homemaker. She made homes.
Oh, excellent.
Charles had 3 younger brothers and 2 younger sisters, none of whom are important to this story.
Excellent.
Charles's mother was a Quaker, and she insisted that each of her children read the Bible and discuss chapters of the Bible every evening after supper, Brandy. Charles's father, Eugene, he was a chemist. He was agnostic and did not attend church or participate in the Bible studies, Brandy. However, he was supportive of his wife and insisted that the children attend church on a regular basis. Charles loved his mother dearly, but was always trying to get closer to his father. He wanted to make his father proud. His father spent most of his free time conducting chemical experiments in a makeshift lab that was built by converting the family barn. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
That's funny. He's like Sheldon. He's just making
Yeah. Now, Eugene would spend every evening and on weekends conjuring up different types of formulas, you know.
He's a chemist.
Charles would serve as his father's lab assistant colonel as his father sought to find cures from everything from cancer to rheumatism. It was Eugene's dream to patent a product that would make him rich so that he could pursue his experiments full time. Eugene would not live to see his dream come true, however, Brandy. On January 22nd, 1887, Eugene was working on an experiment involving nitroglycerin. You know this is not going to end well.
Oh, my God.
Those typically don't end well, Timmy.
I don't want to laugh.
There was an explosion in the lab.
Inevitable explosion.
Right. And the lab was totally destroyed. Charles's father, Eugene, died in the explosion.
Jeez.
Oh, that's terrible. That's not a laugh, huh?
It's not terrible. It's stupid.
Now, as Charles was the oldest child, he dropped out of school and started working full-time to support his mother and siblings. Charles took many different types of jobs, including working as a farm laborer, a janitor, a streetcar conductor, and he also worked in a shipyard. All right. I'm not sure what kind of shipyards, how many shipyards there are in Kansas, but okay.
Hey.
Don't question the research, Brandy. Charles even worked for a while as an errand boy at a local brothel, although his mother frowned upon this job. The job Charles liked the most, however,
he wasn't a dick inspector, was he?
No, the job that he liked most was that of a produce salesman. He sold produce, Brandy.
Well, who wouldn't?
I know it was a different time. Like, I get all that. But, you know, shouldn't his mother go to work, too? Or is she just still staying at home with all these dozens of kids?
Yeah, she's got a lot of kids. And she's, you know, I'm sure she has things to do. Keeps her busy. She darns socks, probably, for example.
Wow. So you have the whatever. I know this was done. It just doesn't make it right.
Let me ask you a question, Brandy. Do you ever darn socks? Do you know how long it takes to darn socks for a...
You know what? She doesn't even cook dinner, Timmy. She's not going to be darning socks.
Yeah. First of all, I do cook dinner. Second of all, no, I've never darned socks.
All right.
Well, then throwing a bag of Taco Bell on the table and says, go get it. No, it's not cooking dinner.
Well, first of all, that's stupid. Like, Noah would eat Taco Bell. Second of all, I cook dinner lots. I'm getting ready to make a batch of, I'm getting ready to make a pot of soup here in a little bit. Homemade soup, fuckers. So chew on that, and I will not bring you any, Tim. You wouldn't eat it anyway. And Chuck, it will be delicious, and you can't have any. I've never darned socks. I've damned a few pair of pants before.
See, if you darn socks, you would know how much time is involved in that. You wouldn't be.
I don't think it's very much time.
You wouldn't be damning his mom with, you know, damning her.
I don't think it takes very long.
Huh.
I think you.
How would you know?
I think you could darn a sock in about 5 minutes.
Do you think anyone on our Facebook page ever darned socks?
Yes. Oh, we got all kinds of people that darn socks, Timmy.
Really? For example, Colonel, who would you?
Alicia Mincy.
You think Alicia darn socks?
I bet you know who I bet could do anything?
Mm-hmm.
Diane Trowbridge, Timmy. I don't know if she darned socks, but if she wanted to, she could.
I bet you're probably right.
Somebody who could throw her out in the middle of the woods, Timmy. She'd survive better than we do in a luxury condo.
Yes.
Well, she killed Clark first.
Oh, that's true.
A lot of mean hair.
Okay, so Charles had he liked selling produce. That's the job he liked, and he had a vibrant personality and was well liked by almost everyone he met. So the occupation as salesman was well suited for him. A few months after his father's death, Charles rebuilt the chemical lab, you know, the one that blew up, and he would sell produce throughout the day, like his father, and then he would experiment in the evenings. So he's back to doing experiments in the lab.
Good Lord.
Although Charles was bright and engaging, he was unable to further his studies as he needed to support, you know, his family, his mom, his brothers and sisters. He made enough money to provide for the family and eventually to send all of his siblings, his five siblings, to college. But Charles himself did not go because he couldn't afford it. He continued to spend his free time working in the lab and dreaming, like his father, of developing a cure for dreaded disease or some other, you know, creating something else that would, you know, serve mankind and also make him rich beyond his dreams. Over the next several years, he was a dreamer, Colonel. But, you know, he really wasn't the only one.
No.
Yeah. Well, someday we can join him.
Over the next several years, Charles worked on cures for polio.
Wouldn't it be nice if the world could live as one?
It would be. He worked on cures for polio, tuberculosis, smallpox, and typhus.
Did you hear tuberculosis is making a comeback, just by the way?
I used to work in the same building as a TB clinic. And I was convinced I was going to get the consumption. I was convinced of it. I might still, yes.
Of course, my stepfather, Timmy, not to get off track here, but my stepfather's from Tennessee.
Yes.
And his father died of the consumption.
Uh-huh.
And a couple months later, his oldest brother died of the consumption.
Uh-huh.
And they were deep in the mountains of Tennessee. I mean, there was moonshining people. And his daddy was a preacher, but a moonshiner. And then his mama got the consumption. So they put her in the hospital. The county came and grabbed all the kids to take them to an orphanage. And on the way to the orphanage, Timmy, his stepfather started coughing up copious amounts of blood.
Mm.
And they sent him up to Dunno Hospital, which was a sanitarium.
Mm-hmm.
Up here in Cincinnati, where he spent 2.5 years, Timmy.
That's almost three, Brandy.
Almost three.
It is.
He has scars on his back that run from his shoulder back down to his hips from where they cut him open, Timmy.
Did he die of the consumption?
They bled him.
No, he was only about 18. He was about 15 when he got here. But seriously, we used to have a sanitarium right here in Cincinnati, a big one, one of the bigger ones in the country. And he spent 2.5 years in there, Timmy, before he recovered from the consumption.
Well, I'm glad he survived.
About half the people died.
Well, which is why Charles was working so feverishly to develop a cure. But the experiments that meant the most to Charles was the ones in which he hoped that would lead to making it rain. Living in the Midwest, Kansas, as we said, He witnessed firsthand the devastation caused by extreme weather conditions. In the winter, Kansas would experience harsh winters with heavy snowfall. And in the summer, it would be hit by extreme heat and drought. The drought would cause farmers to lose their crops and limit their earning potential. It also increased, of course, the cost of food products. So he was dedicated, Brandy, to making the world a better place, unlike yourself.
Well, of course.
So tell us what happens next, Brandy, in this fascinating tale.
I will. So at this point, Charles owned his own produce company. And during droughts, the price of produce would, of course, skyrocket, affecting farmers and his customers. So Charles worked hard to develop a formula that he could use to make it rain. He studied pluviculture, which is the art of making it rain, and developed his own methods for rain production.
Because Colonel, you got to know just when to put that dollar bill down, you know, in the panty of the stripper. You want to time it just
if
right.
You're just a minute early to me or just a minute later, it don't work.
Yeah. So you have to study that, Brandy.
Yeah, I see.
Brandy, you're playing softball and the person who, like, you're on the on deck circle and the woman in front of you hits a home run and they're celebrating. She's coming around. She's rounding the bases. Everyone's giving her a high five. Do you ever stop at home plate and give her a deep French kiss?
They used to do that all the time.
No, I can't say that ever happened. I've never seen that happen.
Happens all the time in my mind.
I know it
in
does.
In my head, too. In my head, by too. 19... Steal, girl steals second base. The whole team runs out. Like, ooh, thank you.
No.
Did you have pillow fights? Did you have pillow fights?
No.
In my mind, girl softball teams have pillow fights. How about you, Colonel?
Well, they should have pillow fights.
Yeah. No bras.
By 1902, Charles had created a mixture of 23 chemicals in evaporating tanks, which he claimed attracted rain.
Colonel, I can't think. I wouldn't think that we were the only one that thinks of that.
And you know, Charles Hatfield dubbed himself, and you're going to get in, but I have been called this before, too. Now, go ahead. Tell him what Charles dubbed himself. And I didn't have to dub myself this. I was known as.
Okay. Charles Hatfield, and nobody else on this earth ever in life ever dubbed himself, which nobody else has ever called themselves ever because it's stupid and creepy.
A moisture accelerator. I have been known as an oasis in the desert of despair, the Yoda of podcasting, and a moisture accelerator.
You've never been called that.
I've had that monocle, you know.
You have, Timmy.
You've said that monocle. You've had that monocle, have you?
Yeah, I have.
It's fucking perfect.
At a big podcast convention in Las Vegas, they introduced Timmy as the panty dropping moisture accelerating Timmy Scott.
First of all, I think that you are confusing moisture accelerator with vomit inducing. So I really think you need to look those words up. But Charles,
you think that women can control themselves, Colonel, when they're around us, but they can't.
It's hard for them. It's hard. Can you fault them, Timmy? Look at us.
I'm embarrassed for them at some point.
Well, yeah,
They have to. They make a mess. They have to change their clothes. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
Jesus. So, I want you guys to. This is funny. Charles believed he could instigate rainfall by evaporating mixtures of dynamite, nitroglycerin, and other ingredients into the air from man-made towers that he built.
It seems like that could make it rain, but it would be raining body parts.
Body parts, shrapnel. I mean, just so many things.
Well, you know, it is an effective method for fishing.
Yes, it is. Charles is
for clearing out enemy villages.
Sure.
But I don't know about rain.
Well, Charles's process seemed to be an early form of cloud seeding.
See?
Or the process of sending chemicals into the air that would react with the elements in the cloud to produce particles of precipitation.
Now, Charles, no. I know you've acquired a certain level of fame. And
certain level.
You know, something that you don't like to talk about because I
infamous.
I know it's embarrassing to you, but Brandy, something that, you know, has, you know, if you want to have a little podcaster, a podcaster who you want to, if you want to raise a podcaster, a lot of women have come to the Colonel asking that he provide the seed to which they can raise a successful podcaster.
Oh, God. Ew. Oh.
I know you're embarrassed to talk about it, Colonel, but tell us about that whole process.
Why?
Kind of a secret process. I mean, I'm on the
Even
dark web as a seed salesman. That's what they call me, a seed salesman. Does anybody now, when they talk about seeding clouds now for the rain, does anybody think of a bunch of guys in those prop planes just spanking a monkey over the,
no,
over the cloud?
Nobody thinks of that.
No one except you. No one except you.
I'm seeding the clouds.
But Colonel, seriously, is that something that you would do if there was, say, someone out there who wanted to raise a podcaster or with, you know, someone unique
nobody
talent?
Nobody wants that. Nobody.
Now, of course,
wants
it would
that.
Be in a sterile clinical environment. Of course.
Well, sure, it wouldn't be in a seedy bathroom hotel.
No,
but
a bathroom
or
hotel.
A hotel and a bathroom. But
nobody wants that.
I've signed some non-disclosures, so I can't really get too deep into it.
That's all I want to do.
But NASA.
Now I'm not going to eat.
The Navy SEALs.
So grossed out. Nobody wants his baby batter. It's so gross.
They have all.
I don't even think Renee took it willingly. I don't even think Renee took it willingly. I think she was asleep.
I've sold about.
Well, I understand that you're now on Instagram.
I am on Instagram.
Well, the kids are.
Hawk Walters, and it's pretty much all Rudy all the time. Mm-hmm. It's the Rudy channel. And Rudy has grown quite popular.
Yes. All right. So, Colonel, you're saying now that you can no longer provide the seed that women seek.
Well, Timmy, you know I had the the neutering done to me.
Yes.
And that was really government ordered because they were afraid. Timmy, who was afraid? Here was a fear.
No, and it was done by a vet.
People
that's
were
why.
Trying to create. The superior race to me.
A superhuman.
What? Yeah. They were trying to make a genetically modified superhuman out of my DNA to me.
They weren't.
They did.
No, they were trying to make a little balding, slightly chubby blabbermouth. And look what, and nobody's doing that. Nobody wants
we
that.
Hurtful.
Well, nobody wants that.
Yes, but so Colonel, you're here to say that you are no longer in the seeding business.
I am no longer in the seeding business. To me, I'm not, but I do still get that vision when people say cloud seeding of like a guy climbing out of the plane of his
nobody has
you know,
that
on the wing
nobody
of his prop plane and like oh cloud oh you bitch you gonna
tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Get it now. Oh, here you go.
Nobody thinks that.
Your thoughts on that?
Last time you ever, when was the last time you ever even heard the words cloud seeding? I mean, it's not in your, it's not in your everyday vernacular. Where? When? Never. So you never, nobody ever thinks that. You're weird and gross. So,
well, let's get on with the story, Brandy. This is ridiculous.
It is.
Too much banter.
Timmy, eventually it would hit the ground, so you would actually be
caught. Or someone's hair.
Or someone's hair. Or forehead looking up like, what is that? Oh.
But you know, so, Brandy, sperm is good for the women's hair.
It is.
It's, all right. Yeah.
Thyme protein. So,
it's a type of shampoo.
Yeah.
It's not.
For all you on the keto diet.
Nope.
It has no carbs.
Nope. So him doing, him cloud seeding is certainly a more scientific sounding process than, say, a rain dance.
Yes.
Experts today still debate the effectiveness of cloud seeding, which is why you haven't heard of it in 100 years. In 1897, Charles believed he'd developed the right potion to induce rainfall. He never would patent his formula and refused to share it, even with his brother Miles, who worked as Charles's assistant most of his life. Charles was so busy with his experiments and produce company that he didn't have much of a social life. Although everyone in the community liked Charles, he was considered one of the town's most eligible bachelors. He didn't date much, probably because he only had, you know, three fingers on one hand.
Well, anyway, he was raising his brothers and sisters. He was a responsible young man.
Uh-huh. He preferred to spend time in the lab with his chemicals. Hmm. Wonder if he was making meth. On March 12th, 1902, when Charles was 26 years old, his mother, Eliza, died of a stroke.
Oh.
Charles was devastated.
Bet he was.
His brothers and sisters were already married or attending the university. Charles no longer had any reason to stay in Kansas. So shortly after his mother's death, Charles decided to move to California to start a new life. He responded to a one ad for a traveling salesman. The Singer Sewing Machine Company was looking for a man with sales experience to serve its sales district in Southern California. Charles applied for the position and soon packed up his chemicals in a small suitcase and headed out west, like the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah. Kind of. Mm-hmm.
Charles soon became the most successful
white
sewing
gold. Jimmy, that's what I used to call it, actually, when I was selling it. White gold.
Jane Hathaway was not the most attractive woman in the world.
I'd do her.
Granny?
Jane Hathaway.
You know Granny was wild in bed.
Oh, are you talking about the lady at the bank?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, no. No. All right.
You know Granny would like, oh yeah, right there. Grab my glee.
Oh, yeah.
Granny always said she had a grab and a glee.
Yeah. He spent more than 200 days of the year on the road. During his spare time, he continued to perfect his rainmaking abilities. In addition to selling sewing machines, Charles would often help communities by making it rain. Charles would charge farmers in drought-stricken areas $50 to summon a rainstorm.
That's a bargain.
Unlike the con men the farmers were used to, Charles wouldn't charge the farmers until he produced results.
That's fair, Brandy.
Well, yeah, time and time again, Charles Hatfield successfully brought communities much needed rain. His reputation as a rainmaker soon exceeded his reputation as a salesman. Soon Charles' prices began to rise, and it wasn't long he was charging communities $1,000 per inch of rain he produced.
Damn.
I know, right?
You know, if you could just go start in, like, say, a place like Iowa, where they were getting really severe thunderstorms, and get about 500 miles, just drive real fast and hit a town and say, you give me $3,000, I'm going to make it rain in 2 days.
And that's what they think the successful rainmakers did, that they were just better. They were just good at meteorology. You know, they
storm
were just
chasing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In 1906, Charles charged gold panners in the Yukon $10,000 for rain. The rain didn't happen, and Charles left town with $1,100 in his pocket, which he had claimed for his expenses before blasting started. The failure led Charles back to the lab, where he worked hard to enhance his formula to ensure he would not experience failure again. After spending 2 months in the lab working 18-hour days, Charles was able to enhance his product and was quite certain now he could make it rain anywhere on Earth. The city of San Diego had long had problems with water supply. Since the city has little in the way of natural water sources, it relies heavily on reservoirs, which run dry during an extreme drought. This is exactly what happened in late 1915, after weeks without rain, and consequently brought the desperate San Diego City Council to turn to Charles Hatfield. Despite the protest of one council member who ruled the idea nothing but foolishness. The 40-year-old rainmaker made a deal with the city in which he would either fill the Marina Reservoir or induce between 30 and 50 centimeters of rain at the cost of $10,000 to be paid after the shower started, of course. The council amazingly agreed to the proposal, albeit verbally only, and Charles, together with his younger brother Miles, constructed a tower where he would conduct his secret work.
So basically a non-binding resolution is what they had.
Sure. In early January 1916, it began to rain over San Diego after an extended drought. The wife of the local dam keeper recalled how, on a visit to Charles Hatfield Tower during the early days of the drizzle, she declared, "It's sure raining now," to which Hatfield replied, "You haven't seen anything yet. Wait 2 weeks and it will really rain." Charles started on January 1st of 1916. On January 5th, it began to rain and rain and rain and rain. At first, San Diegans rejoiced in Charles Hatfield's fulfillment of his promise, with one newspaper joyfully proclaiming, "Rainmaker Hatfield induces clouds to open." It seemed their prayers had been answered. But it wasn't long before the entire area was deluged.
And, hey, much
you
like
know,
they had,
he did what he like, said he was going to do.
He did.
Yeah.
So now the place is flooded.
Right. Local farmers lost entire crops due to rain. Roads were wiped off. Be careful what you wish for. Roads were wiped off the map. Landslides caused millions of dollars worth of damage.
Motherfucking frogs coming down. Plagues, right. I mean, crickets, whatever. This motherfucker was like, these people became Job.
He made it rain.
People had to leave the area to take refuge from the rising water levels. Charles had promised some rain and delivered a flood. Finally, 15 days.
He's a man of his word, Brandy.
You know what this reminds me of, Timmy? Mm. Timmy, once there was a man walking along a beach, Timmy.
Uh-huh.
And he came upon a little lamp. And he started rubbing the lamp, Timmy.
Oh, God.
And a genie popped out of the lamp.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I'm going to grant you one wish, Timmy. And
this one,
you guys thinking, and yeah, because this was an apprentice genie. It wasn't a real genie. It was an apprentice. Yeah. And as you can see, it goes drastically wrong. And the guy had lived his whole life with a small member, Timmy.
Mm.
So
he's talking about penis, Brandy.
Thank you.
I'm trying to be delicate here in front of the ladies, but so
right.
He thought, you know, I want to make my living in porn. That would be the best thing in the world if I had the biggest one ever. So he says to the genie,
"It's a curse. It's a curse."
I know it. Preaching to the choir, Timmy. Preaching to the choir. So anyway, what the guy said was, you know what? I'd like my dick to touch the ground. And boom, his legs was gone, Timmy.
What do you think about
that? You got to be careful what you ask for, Devil.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know on I Dream of Jeannie, don't you think he should have banged her?
I think he did eventually.
See, it scares me to think
that would be the first thing that come to my mind.
Yeah, but you know, in the middle of things, Timmy, you're liable to ask for stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, you got to be careful when you have a genie. That's the point of this. That's the point he's trying to make.
Like a genie. You're banging the genie, and it's like, oh, you know, you say something out of line.
That'd be great if he had a point. That would be great.
The next thing you know, the genie's granted your wish, and
Brandy, do women really care if men are endowed or not?
No, if you can, I mean, it does matter, but not if you can make up for it in other ways.
Which would you say is more important?
So basically, if you got money is what you're saying.
Sure. Exactly. That helps.
Of the two, Devil, we need an expert opinion. You've seen many a penis in your day. Would you say it's the length or the girth, Devil?
What?
I mean,
no,
you're kind of a penis expert.
No, I'm not.
You can write a book on penis.
Look, I'm not writing a coffee table book on penis. Can we just move forward here?
Just asking for an opinion.
I don't. Yeah,
a lot of people value your penis opinion.
They do.
They don't.
They want to know, Devil. Now, see, you say. So, your economics Kirk. Professor, Kirk. Aside from a good grade, it's
always
what
better.
You to him?
He was very
girth
smart.
Is a funny word.
It is a funny word, but that's girthy. What matters.
Girthy.
Because if it's very long, then it hurts. It hits your cervix. It just is ridiculous. So, there. Happy? Okay. Can we move on now?
Well,
so
I mean, it's
so
really
what you're saying,
listeners.
it's better to shake the walls than to hit the ceiling.
Yes.
Okay.
Finally.
Well, some of us can do both.
Finally.
They called Timmy the house wrecker Scott.
Shaking the walls. Touching.
No, wrecking ball. That's what they call him. Timmy wrecking ball.
Timmy the wrecking ball. He lying on Richard, right. Dancing on the ceiling.
Finally.
Yeah, I know. You know what? God. I don't like Lionel Richie making that video where he pretends he's blind and he ain't no blinder than me.
Yeah.
He's not pretending he's blind.
He's stalking the woman. That's a stalker. They talked about that song all winter, Baby It's Cold Outside. But hello?
Yeah.
When he's pretending he's blind? That's some creepy ass shit right there. Nobody ever called him on it.
You know what you should do is rewatch that video because he doesn't pretend he's blind, but that's okay. I know you too.
It's not.
No, he doesn't.
It's really not like cool Ray to Charles. Pretend you have a disability and you don't.
Yeah.
You think he could really? You think that she could really make do that sculpture if she was blind?
Right.
I don't know. I think that there are people that can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, not her.
How do you know?
I'm just calling bullshit on the whole thing because he was not blind. She's not blind, and they're pretending to have a disability to sell records, and I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
And you want to defend it? That's up to you. But I don't like people making their fortunes off people with disabilities. The Colonel and I will not stand for it.
First of all,
especially the people selling those Braille CDs. Yeah, what do you?
I'm making a bourbon.
She's eating popcorn again, Timmy.
No, I'm not. I'm putting ice in a glass. I'm making bourbon. Leave me alone. It's close enough to noon. Now,
yeah, only 4 hours away. What happens next? So he makes this the San Diego floods because of young Charles. All right, what happens next, Brandy?
So finally. 15 days after it started to rain, it stopped. But then it started to rain again 2 days later.
Well, and he can't be responsible for that. I mean, he did it. It stopped. I mean, you're going to hold him responsible for weather for a year?
Well, so finally, So it rained from January 22nd through the 27th. After the second week of rain, people grew ready for a break. Right. Joy turned into apprehension, and then to dismay. Let's see, where'd it go? As the rain turned to storms and water overflowed the reservoirs. The reservoir overflow created floods on major streets, washed out bridges, took down telephone lines, changed the geography of some of the canyons, and then when a dam burst, the excessive water killed at least 20 people. So the deluge became known as the Hatfield Flood, which I think is unfair because, you know, he was doing what he was asked.
See, this reminds me of an incident that took place here, Timmy.
Yes.
And this is, again, well, you got to be careful. You got to be specific in what you're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
And at the house one time, I was asked to light a candle.
Mm-hmm.
So I set the coffee table on fire. And the candle was on the coffee table.
You got to be careful what you ask for, Brandy.
Yeah. And
jeez,
people all got mad at me, and I was like, the candle's burning right there. What's your problem? You asked me to do it. I did it.
Everything was such a mess that Charles Hatfield had to pick his way through a disaster zone to ask for his money.
Now that guy, you know what he did?
Big stones. Hey,
now, yeah. Wait, him and his wheelbarrow carrying his balls walked up to the city council and said,
he did what he was asked to do. They didn't have the drought issue anymore.
Well, evidently,
this is back before we had FEMA, so they wasn't getting tons of government money rolling in there.
Well,
true.
The city basically told him to go fuck himself, and their refusal was mostly due to the efforts of city attorney Terrence Byrne Cosgrove. Cosgrove had never believed that Hatfield could make it rain, and in any case, he wasn't going to pay him for a flood. That seems like a dick move. He took Hatfield's agreement, written like a sales pitch instead of a contract, and metaphorically ripped it to shreds.
Now, how do you metaphorically rip something to shreds? You either do
you
it
know, and reading.
If a motherfucker can make it script. Flood, I don't think I'd be fucking with him. I think I'd
no, because you know what? You know what I'd have said? I'd have said, you know what? Look here, motherfucker.
Make it stop. That's what I'm telling.
I'll give you $2 million to make it stop. You give me $2 million, you make it stop. And if you don't pay me my goddamn money, lightning, tornadoes, hurricanes, and thunder frogs, everything else.
Thunder frogs? Thunder frogs are a bitch.
Thunder frogs, yeah. You don't want to fuck with
no, thunder frogs. No, not.
Well, this Ms. Cosgrove, he argued that first, Hatfield couldn't even prove it was him that made it rain. He demanded that Hatfield prove by preponderance of the evidence, Timmy. Preponderance.
Mm. That's a legal term.
In legal terms, you know what that means. We defer to
they
you.
They hired him.
Yeah. Right.
Now, when the judge dismissed this burden, the city threatened to sue Hatfield for all the damage resulting from the floods.
Poor guy. I mean, fuck. You ask him to make it rain. He makes it rain. Now they're going to sue you.
Yeah, never happy. Motherfuckers never happy with anything. So so Hatfield gets interviewed by the press on February, and he said the damage was not his fault, and the city should have taken adequate precautions.
He's got a point.
Pointed out that he had fulfilled the requirements, filling the reservoir and overflowing the reservoir, but the city council still refused to pay him the money. Unless he would accept liability for the damage, which there were already claims were $3.5 million, which was a lot of money back then, 1916.
Yes.
Now, rather than stick around and be sued and possibly lynched by angry farmers whose crops were now down somewhere in Tijuana, they floated all the way down there.
Right.
Hatfield decided it may be better to just ease out of town quietly, which was what he did on March 3rd, 1916. Now, despite the flood, his reputation as a rainmaker continued to grow. Charles received more contracts for rainmaking. Among other things, in 1929, he used his rainmaking ability to stop a forest fire in Honduras, Timmy.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Well, I would tell San Diego to fucking suck it.
Yeah, now later, the Bear Valley Mutual Water Company hired him when they wanted to fill Big Bear Lake. Charles decided to leave California soon after the Hatfield flood and spent most of his time on the road, going from town to town, promising to make it rain. Now, although Charles left the West Coast, he refused to give up on his claim.
Come on, can I use my steam cord? Why?
He filed a lawsuit, Timmy.
A lawsuit,
San Diego. A lawsuit. And it continued for 21 years.
Seems
his wife offered to settle the suit for just a measly $4,000, but the city refused. In two trials, the court ruled that the rain was an act of God, which absolved Charles of any wrongdoing, but also meant he did not get his fee. Over the next few decades, Charles' secret formula brought rain to Oklahoma, Texas, Arizona. Now, Charles worked through South America for a while. Now, it's pretty easy to make it rain in the rainforest, and then went to the Middle East. Actually, until Charles got down there, Timmy, you know what they used to call it?
What?
The desert forest, Timmy.
I see.
And then Hatfield went down there and turned it into the rainforest. So now wherever Charles visited, he was able to make it rain. On several occasions now, he was offered a great deal of money for making his rain potion, but he refused to sell it, Timmy.
Refused to sell it, Brandon.
Yeah.
Because he has standards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because big corporations, you know how they screw you. You know the guy who invented the weed eater? He got like $32 for it from Sears. Yeah, that's what the man does to you. Now, by 1932, Charles was 57 years old, and after decades on the road, he decided to settle down in Norman, Oklahoma, Timmy.
Norman, Oklahoma.
The great town of Norman, Oklahoma.
Of all places.
And returned to selling sewing machines. Now, his rainmaking career ended, but his legend endured in the form of pop culture, books, songs. And you know what song, Timmy? What song's what? Written about him? The great Creedence Clearwater Revival, Timmy.
Rolling on the river.
Stop the rain.
That's very good, Colonel.
Now, Hatfield claimed that he had made it rain more than 500 times, but most experts were a little bit skeptical of that claim.
They're skeptical, Brandy, as experts tend to be,
as they do.
They believe that he could just simply have been a great fraud who was even better at forecasting the weather. Now, Charles' story inspired the 1956 Burt Lancaster film, The Rainmaker. Hollywood invited Hatfield to the premiere, but he was too sick to attend. He died of pneumonia on January 12, 1958, Timmy. He was 85 years old. He lived a healthy life.
Were you, buried
in Forest Lawn Memorial Park Cemetery.
Yes.
Hatfield, he took his rainmaking chemical formula with him to the grave. And whether he was a fraud or a true rainmaker, we will never know. But then one time they called him, Timmy, down into Appalachia. To help it rain, because they was having problems with the tobacco crops and whatnot, whatever they do down there. And he did the same thing in San Diego, damn near washed all the hillsides out. It was a family called the McCoys, Timmy.
No, that's a different story, Colonel.
And this is what started the entire feud.
No.
The Hatfield McCoy feud.
No, that's a different story. We'll get that next time. Okay. Brandy, your final thoughts on Rainmaker Charles Hatfield.
Well, I think if he could make it rain, then he should have. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He took it on the road, tried to help people, and San Diego fucked him.
Colonel, your final thoughts on Charles Rainmaker, Moisture Accelerator Hatfield.
You know, I feel a little bit bad for the guy, Timmy. I feel bad. I mean, the guy comes in, he's basically a community servant.
Uh-huh.
The man was much like Moses parting the Red Sea.
Right.
And once he get just a bunch
much
of
like
grief
that,
for
Brandy.
His trouble. You know, and I know I can sympathize with the guy because I've been through these things myself, Timmy.
Well,
it's like I said,
too much is given, much is required, Colonel.
Exactly. And people don't appreciate what you do for them, Timmy.
I know,
They
Colonel.
Just don't. Yeah.
Well,
but, you know, I tell me one time I here at the house, somebody was one of the family members who I will not name since she is now deceased, was incessantly bugging me. Mm-hmm. And the phone kept ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing and ringing. She kept calling. I didn't want to talk to her. And finally, you know, back when the cordless phones were those big, bulky, heavy things, Timmy.
Yes.
That you had in your house.
Uh-huh.
And I had a member of my family come up, a bossy member of my family, come up and toss the phone in my lap as it was ringing and said, are you going to take care of this? And I was sitting on the couch, and from the couch, I threw it through the screen door, Timmy, out onto the porch.
You took care of it.
I solved the problem, right? And nobody appreciated it.
Was this person who wanted you to solve the problem, was that your wife, your lovely bride?
At that point, it was to me, yes.
Yes. And at that point,
she had no appreciation for the fact that I'm a problem solver, Timmy.
Yes.
You give me a problem, I'm going to solve it.
Yo, he'll solve it, Brandy. White vanilla ice. Come on now.
You know, it was like, you know what? I got 99 problems. Pew! Through the fucking screen door. Now I got 98.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Not how that goes at all. Yeah, you're not Jay-Z or Vanilla Ice, although you are closer to Vanilla Ice. Boom, 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 boom.
He's Colonel Diddy.
Boom, 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 boom. I'm Colonel Diddy. That's got Colonel Z. I'm yes. Colonel Z.
Now, all right.
What up, dog?
Let me give a shout out to our Patreon supporters. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little bit to me.
And before we get into thanking our Patreon supporters, we just want to give a shout out to our good friend Nina with Already Gone. Her father is ill, and we just want you to know we're thinking of you, Nina, and Joe, get well soon.
You know, Timmy, we have had two dweeb cons. Joe's come to both, and I told Nina.
Oh, he's a great guy.
It's a little disheartening because we have a dweeb con. Joe comes down here, and he's a star of the show.
He is.
Joe's probably one of the greatest storytellers I ever met. So yeah.
I told her we'd move it up if we needed to.
It up to Detroit if we need to get Joe. Yeah.
So get well, Joe. All right. So we'd like to thank all of you who support us on Patreon. That includes Jim Seabright. Thank you, Jim. Jim is always very generous in his donations. Thank you, Jim. Andrew Scamville, Tommy Lane, aloha, Tommy Lane, our good friend Jason Dykes, Terry Strafford, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Sabota, Per Westman, Maggie Glover, who just had a birthday. Happy birthday, Maggie.
Happy birthday, our resident poet, Timmy.
Yes, Gracie's mom, Erica Kinney, Hiro.
Erica's a lovely lady, don't you think, Timmy?
I do indeed. Our friends from the Comeback Podcast, L. K. Bar Anut, Reen, Marissa Albanese, of course, our dear good friend Bridget Clavey, Phyllis Munson, Jennifer Riker Smith, good buddy Stephen Potts, Anna Garrett, Ben, Ursula, as we mentioned before, Clark and Diane Trowbridge up there in Michigan, Beth Ann Wallen, Michelle Johns, Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Jess, the lovely Leanne Flanagan, Julia Rodriguez, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Tyrone, Marcia Burris, Stacy Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, our good friends Ben and Rosanna from They Walk Among Us, Lorna Violet, Michael Deo, Kelly Charette, Karen Russell Widener, Callie Jones, the lovely Callie Jones, Lauren Callie Meredith, Jones. Jessica
What do
Guido.
You think Callie's real name is? Do you think it's Callie?
I don't know. I always assume Callie, but I don't know. Yeah, we'll ask her. Pleasing Terror Podcast with our good friend Mike Brown, Sarah Bloom, and Amber Krupp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Kimberly Cameron, the attorney, Elise Edrington, History Goes Bump, Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Lahara Lopes, Alicia and Chip Mincy, Marquia Smith, our good friends Jeff and Don Chestnut, Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Melissa Montoya, Maja, of course, our good friend Karen Garrett, Carol Elise, Christine Malachinsky, Adam McWaters, our good friend Shelley from the Rants and Reasons podcast with Colonel here. Check them out. They this week they had the history of the State of the Union speech, so it was kind of good. Paula Kimes, The Vanish podcast, Christy Lee in Canadian True Crime. The Insight podcast is Charlie and Allie, Angela Santos, Lydia Wasson-Fisher, Kim Stroop, Nicole Adams, also known as Mistress Vader, Ron Monticero, Tracy Smith, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Cheryl LeBlanc Weldon, Veronica Marino, Chris Lane, Alex, Elaine Baker, Vivi, Amanda Lupus, Shannon Arnold, Kimberly Smith, Robin Sherrard, Ruth Keith Whitfield, Casey Kitchens, our good buddy Nick Johnson, Natasha Burris, Julia Bentley, Patty Schmidt, the lovely, of course, the lovely Lady Beverly, and of course, Rudy the Wonder Dog, who you can now follow on Instagram at HawkWalters.
At HawkWalters. Yes. Look up HawkWalters. It's all Rudy all the time, Timmy. I'm getting ready to post
all
another.
I'm posting
baby Rudy today, Timmy.
Oh, baby Rudy. And, of course, my mom, Dottie Scott, who spends her days watching these eviction videos on YouTube. These people evict. Yeah, she loves those evictions. So thank you all for joining us, and I promise more true crime to come. Please join us in Chicago in July for the True Crime Podcast Fest and, of course, DweebCon in October. For more details, come to our Facebook group, History Dweebs, the podcast. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Good day.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.